Just for the recording, it's Wednesday the 22nd of June 2016, and the topic of this evening is hope. And even since putting the notes together yesterday, I feel like I've just been thinking about it through the day, and maybe just a few more little things coming together on this whole topic. And so I might not actually follow the notes strictly, but we'll see where we go. One of the passages, or one of the verses that we quote very regularly is Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And we don't even quote the whole verse. You know, normally we quote the second part of the verse, which is probably very familiar to all of us, which says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. And that, of course, is totally true. And you can preach many, many a sermon just on that phrase, that part of the verse, on its own. But I want to look at that verse this evening in the context of the rest, or the first few verses of the chapter, because I think it adds a new dimension to our understanding of what we often talk about the Father's love being poured into our hearts. And so let me just read these first five verses from Romans chapter 5. I'm reading it from the English Standard Version. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or as some translations say, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I suspect if we're honest, we've heard a lot of people talk about suffering and endurance and character, and how good it is for us to go through suffering because it makes us endure, and how much that endurance produces our character, and how good it is that our characters are being transformed by all this suffering. See, and I suspect that many of us will have heard something along those lines, which is actually taking it out of context and making it something of our own effort. That if we endure our sufferings, if we allow our character to be shaped and moulded, then we will generate something in ourselves. As James Jordan says, we will develop, you know, good Christian living out of our own strength and out of our own abilities. And I don't actually think that's what these verses are talking about. See, Paul starts off by saying, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what he's basically doing is setting this in the context of relationship. And it's so important for us to understand that, because we need to put everything in the context of our relationship with the Father. The moment we step outside of that, we begin to make something a religion or a law, and we end up creating a set of rules which it's generally impossible to live by. And we need to keep stepping back into this context of relationship. We need to keep stepping back, and whenever we think of something, or whenever we approach something, we put it in the framework of a relationship. You know, not a relationship between a judge and a master, but a relationship between a son or a daughter and their father. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, we now have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And what is when he uses that name God, it's just short for God the Father. You know, we have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is just planting us back in the center of everything, in our relationship with the Father, saying, through what Jesus has done, through us stepping into Christ and coming to him, we've been brought into a place of peace and reconciliation with our Father. You know, we've taken that step of faith, which, you know, we call salvation, becoming a Christian, whatever you want to call it. We take that step of faith, and the moment we take that step of faith, we step into a reconciled and peaceful relationship with our Father. And the thing that always encourages me about faith is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 tells us that faith is a gift. So even the faith we need to bring us into this relationship is a gift from our Heavenly Father. You know, he empowers us by giving us that gift of faith. He empowers us to make the choice to come back into relationship with him. You know, this faith, this gift of faith, is not something we work up ourselves. It's not something we have to internally generate, because if it was, we could never do it. But it's a gift that is given to us that empowers us or enables us to make the choice to step into that oneness and that reconciliation with the Father. And this step of faith, when we step into relationship with the Father, it brings us into the realm of grace. You know, it brings us into the realm of relationship. It causes us to step above the law. Paul's very clear about that. When he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he says that, you know, against such things there is no law, because the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, sits on top of the law. It supersedes the law. And it brings us into that place where instead of living by the rule book, we can live in this oneness and this relationship with the Father. And this gift of faith is a gift that is available to everybody. It's not limited to those who live a good life. It's not limited to any particular class of people. It's given freely to all of us. And when we respond to that gift of faith inside of us, it enables us to step into this relationship. And so Paul is very, very clear at the beginning of this passage that he is talking to us about a relationship that we have entered into. You know, we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And he says we've come into this amazing oneness, this amazing unity, and we can see how big and how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. And we can see his greatness and his majesty, but we can see the way that he holds each one of us in his arms. We can see the way that he gathers each one of us like a mother hen gathers her chickens, you know, like a shepherd gathers a lamb. This is what we begin to see when we're talking about, you know, the hope of the glory of God. We see what God is really like. We experience what he is really like. And it's like this doorway has been opened for you and I to step out of our prison and to come into this glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, one of the saddest statistics that I've heard is that many, many people, when they're released from prison, they reoffend within a very short period of time. And that's tragic. It's a tragedy for the individuals concerned. It's a tragedy for the families. It's a tragedy for society. Because what happens is, although they can walk out of the prison as a free man or a free woman, their hearts are not free. You know, and they're still bound. They're still a prisoner in their hearts. And the reoffending rate right across the Western world is incredibly high. And I, you know, in a sense, it's the same for us, that we can be set free from this prison, from, you know, the bondage of sin and the weight of the law. And it's like we've been set free from something. But have we actually stepped in into the freedom to be someone? And of course, that being someone is becoming a son or daughter. And many of us are set, you know, we know we've been set free from our past life or the things that have held us back, but we haven't stepped into the glorious freedom which is available for the sons and daughters. You see, there is so much more available to us than just our salvation. You know, it's like we've received the deposit, but there is the full inheritance for us as sons and daughters. And that's what Paul is beginning to point out to us here when he says to us that through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope as the glory of God. It's like we can begin to see that we really are sons and daughters. We can begin to see that God has called us to something exciting and something great. And, you know, that gives us this sort of sense of being able to rejoice in the goodness of our Heavenly Father, and rejoice in our future inheritance, which is not, you know, our inheritance is available for us now. It's not something we pick up in its entirety when we step into heaven. It's something that each one of us can live in today, can live into tomorrow. In fact, you know, God's perfect plan for us is that the moment we are born again, we begin to grow and step into our inheritance. But sadly, many of us see it as the reward for a life well lived. And so we strive and we perform and we press on to have our character reformed and all that stuff. And we fail to step into the wonderful inheritance that is ours by right. It's ours for today. And that is to live in this glorious freedom as the sons of God. And so Paul is saying we can rejoice in the goodness of God the Father. We can rejoice in who he is and what he has done. And then he leads us on to this really cheery bit in the middle of the passage, which most of us wish wasn't there. You know, he says, not only can we rejoice in the goodness of God, but we can also rejoice in our sufferings. And this is where most of us probably turn off and go, oh no, you know, suffering. Oh, you know, because if we're honest, we don't want it, do we? But Paul says that, yes, we can rejoice in the goodness of God, but we can also rejoice in our suffering. And he says, we can rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And, you know, we've got this progression in these few verses of suffering leading to endurance, endurance leading to character building, and it all leads to hope. And because of hope, we are not supposed to be disappointed or put to shame, as some of the translations say. You know, the problem we have, though, is that after all the suffering, all the endurance, all the character building, we still feel disappointed. We still feel let down. You know, we can have loads of hope, but we can end up feeling disillusioned, disappointed, or let down. You know, and it's like, is that really the reward for all of this suffering, endurance and character building. You know, it's like here he is, Paul is building up to this great big thing. He says, if you suffer and endure and your character's transformed, here's the reward, hope. And it's like, hope, is that it? Is that all we get? You see, and many of us, our story is that we go through so much of life. We go through the ups and downs of life's journeys. We go through the heartaches of life's journeys. And we've started off with so much hope, but we end up feeling discouraged or disillusioned or let down. And there's something inside of us that says we ought to be happy because God has poured his love into our hearts. But yet we feel cast down and we feel full of sorrow. We feel full of pity. And it's, you know, I've read that verse hundreds and hundreds of times over the, you know, the last few years. And every time I used to read it, I used to think, is this it? Is this the reward for everything I've been through? Is hope? And I used to think, you know, can't God do better than that? Can't he give us a better prize than just hope that one day maybe something will get better? And we end up with this disappointment in our hearts. We end up feeling discouraged. We end up thinking, what's it all about? You know, where are we going with it all? See, we think that the logical progression is we go through suffering, we go through endurance, we go through character building, and suddenly we find that our hearts have been filled with love. You see, that's how I used to think about it, is that this logical progression, or the reward of all this suffering, endurance and character building, was to know that, you know, was to receive love. And it didn't work for me, because I was doing all the stuff, I was enduring, I was letting my character be shaped, and I wasn't feeling any more loved. And it's like I felt like God was holding out on me and not giving me the reward that I deserved, not giving me what I thought his word says, you know, that I was doing all the right things and God was holding out on me. And then I began to see it the other way round. And I began to realise that what actually I believe the Father is saying to us through this passage is this, because God has poured his love into our hearts, we can have hope in our sufferings. We can have hope through our endurance. And we can have hope that the Holy Spirit is transforming us to be more like Jesus. See, the starting point is because God has poured his love into our hearts. And that transforms it. And instead of making it the love of the Father is a reward for good service and character building, what it says is the love of the Father is the foundation for everything that we will go through. And I really believe that it's important for us to understand that his love is never, ever conditional. It's never the reward for doing anything right or wrong. It's, you know, his love being poured into our hearts is a given, stated fact simply because he is our Father. And he pours his love into our hearts irrespective of what we've done or how we've behaved. And I want to encourage you this evening to look at this the other way round and to say, because God has poured his love into my heart, I can have hope in my sufferings. I can have hope as I endure. I can have hope that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is transforming my life. You see, the bedrock is the love of the Father. You know, the foundation is the love of the Father. The love of the Father is not a reward. It's not what we get if we do all those other things. It's what we receive simply because we are a son or a daughter. And what, when we, you see, for me, it didn't do it. You know, I used to get discouraged thinking I'm doing all the right thing. I've suffered, I've endured, my character's been built. But am I feeling any more loved? You know, because of doing those things, am I feeling any more loved? And I had to say no. The answer was no. Because that's, you know, the love of the Father is not the end result of doing those things. The love of the Father is the beginning. And when we come to that place where we allow Him to fill us with His love, that love will sustain us and carry us through all the other things that are going on. Many of you will have been on the webcast a few weeks ago when we had Leonard Hayes talking to us, and we had a very good time with Leonard. And you know what Leonard didn't say, but some of you may know this, but he's got a daughter who is critically ill, and even this week she's been taken into hospital with major medical problems, you know, really quite serious medical problems, you know. And I know what Leonard and Leslie are going through, you know, with their daughter. I can feel their pain. And you know, I look at them and I see these are a couple who have suffered a lot. These are a couple who have endured a lot. But you know, they've been able to do that because they've been so saturated with the love of the Father. They've been able to go from one day to the next because they know there's a river of love flowing into their hearts. And to me, when we look at it this way round, it makes so much more sense. See, we cannot go through the sufferings of life. We cannot endure the hard times. We cannot endure the heartaches. We cannot let our character be shaped and moulded if we are not rooted and grounded in the love of the Father. It's, you know, when our lives are rooted and grounded in love, that love inside of us, that love that has filled our hearts, is the thing that will sustain us and carry us through. And so I want to encourage you this evening that, you know, if you've puzzled about these verses and wonder what they really mean, you know, is love the reward for this? The answer is no. Love is the foundation that enables you to go through those things. Because the love of God is not conditional on anything. It's poured freely into our hearts in order that we can face whatever, you know, we can be sustained and carried through whatever comes our way. See, when we understand it in that context, we actually see that it's not hope in our own ability, but it's an eternal hope in what the Father has done for us. See, so many of us have a natural hope in our own strength or our own ability, but we need to fall back and rest on what the Father has done for us. And because His love has been poured into our hearts, we have the energy inside of us to go through sufferings, to go through endurance, and to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow into our hearts. I came across this little quote the other day, which if English is not your first language, it may be difficult for you to understand because it's a little play on words. But it says, you've got to have hope. Without hope, life is meaningless. And then it says, without hope, life is meaning less and less. And very often many of us feel that our life is meaningless. You know, if we haven't got a hope, we haven't got something that's motivating us or driving us, it's like life becomes meaningless. But also, not only is it meaningless, but it starts to mean less and less. But when we have the hope in our hearts that comes from us being saturated by the love of the Father, then our life takes on a meaning. And we can turn the other part around and says life begins to mean more and more. You see, it's that hope that comes from being filled with the love of the Father that gives us a purpose and a satisfaction to our life. We started off just a few moments ago talking about faith, and the gift of faith that we're given to enable us to step into this relationship. And I just in closing, I just want to mention that very well-known verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. Faith is the reality of the things that we hope for but we haven't seen. And the way I like to explain this is that the gift of faith within us enables us to reach into the future and bring that the future reality into our present. You know, what we hope for in the future, we can bring into the present because we have faith. And faith and hope work together. You know, we receive that gift of faith that enables us to step into this relationship. We have a hope in our hearts because God has poured his love into our hearts. And it's when we stand in that place of security that we can reach out in faith to the things that we long for, the things that we hope for, and we can draw them into our present. You see, if we don't have that understanding of faith, then a whole lot of the suffering and the endurance that we go through is hard, it's bitter. But somehow, if we stand in that place of suffering, or we stand in that place of endurance, in a place of faith, it enables us to reach beyond those circumstances in order that we can begin to pull our eternal inheritance into our present. You see, we see it as a future inheritance. God the Father sees it as our present inheritance. And he wants us to draw that inheritance from the future into our present, so we live in the substance and the reality of who we are. And you know, I when I think of faith and hope, I like to think of it in this way of reaching beyond our circumstances in order to pull our eternal inheritance into our daily life, because that's how the Father sees us. And I want to encourage us this evening, because I know many of us will be struggling with many different things. Many of us will feel like we are on a constant journey of endurance and struggle and suffering. And many of you will be feeling discouraged or disillusioned or downcast. And I want to encourage you this evening that God the Father has poured his love into your hearts. And that love in your hearts, that substance, that reality of love in your hearts, is what will enable you to endure your sufferings and allow the work of the Holy Spirit to go on. If you're feeling discouraged this evening, if you're feeling disillusioned, just reach out again and let the Father pour his love into your hearts, because it's the substance and reality of his love in your hearts that gives you what you need to press on and go through. Let me just finish by reading Romans 5, verse 5 from the Passion Translation. And then we'll just put some music on, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come to us and refresh us and renew us. And where there's a cloud of despondency, where there's a cloud of discouragement, where there's a cloud of disillusionment, we're going to ask the Father to lift that off, because it's the love in our hearts that is in our hearts already that enables us to have hope for the circumstances and the situations that we are facing. And for some of us, those situations and those circumstances are very real. They're right in our face. And it's very, very easy for us to become discouraged. It's very easy for us to become disillusioned. But we have this hope in us, this eternal hope in us, because God the Father has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk through the sufferings, enables us to endure, enables us to see the fruit of his Spirit being taking root and growing in our lives. So the Passion Translation says this, it says, hope is not a disappointing fantasy. Hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of the Father cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us.